Hello and welcome to another edition of Drinking with Comics.
I thought it was Dwinking with
Comics. It is. I'm sorry. You're right. It's Dwinking with Comics. Yeah. I'm Elmer. I'm Sean. This is Chris. That's Mike. That's Jordan. Hi. Kirsten is running the technical side of things.
It's actually not bad.
And we're here to drink gin from a bottle, or at least one of us is. You can tell who. You can tell who wears the pants in this family.
So you can't see the label because they don't give me money.
We have a live studio audience. Thank you guys for coming.
Yay. All right. Dave is in the house.
What are you guys drinking, other than the sapphire from the bottle, which is awesome? This is not a criticism at all. I'm unbelievably impressed.
Talk about like the finish or the.
Oh, I'm not alcohol smart. I just drink it.
Chris, what are you drinking?
I'm just keeping it American, I guess. Sam Adams. You know,
we need taking it easy tonight.
Taking it easy with. Yeah, 5%.
I've got.
Yeah, we need all the patriotism we can get these days, right?
I've got the Dr. Jekylls again. This time instead of the red ale, I bought the Kolsch. I had a Kolsch. It's a good summer beer. I had one when I was in Washington recently, and I was like, oh, I really like Kolsches. And this is, like the red, very unique. So I really, really like this.
Is that what's in your glass?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
No, this is urine, actually.
Well, you're in luck because we got tons of it.
So, okay.
Let's talk comics.
What do you want to start with? Fudd?
Let's do Batman and Fudd. It's fresh in your brain.
So, they went earlier.
Who's read this, by the way? Batman Elmer Fudd. Have you read it, Dave? Yeah.
It is surprisingly pretty brilliant.
Earlier when you guys sent the message that we were going to be reading this, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And you open the front page and the name of the book is Pway for Me. And I'm like, oh, God.
Read an excerpt.
But you know what?
Please.
I will. Awesome. It's. I got to say, I'd give it a B. Like,
I think it's an A, dude.
I wouldn't give it an A.
It's a surprise. It's a surprise hit.
How could it have been better?
It could have been Sandman, The Invisibles, Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, anything.
So those are A's.
Hellblazer by Garth Ennis, Preacher by Garth Ennis. Anything by Rick Remender, Chris Claremont, when he had his 80s run on the X-Men. It could have been any of those things that were better. But, I mean, it was... I
think you haven't read a lot of mainstream comics lately, though.
Mark Miller. Nah, I'm not a fan. But it's fun. It's not bad. And they kind of go overboard, I feel like, with, like, reinventing every single Looney Tunes character. So you get, like... Tasmanian Devil is a dude with a mohawk. Taz is on his shirt. Marv Martian is my favorite because he looks like Ted Kaczynski. He's just sitting in the corner like with a bunch of empty shot glasses saying, like, I'm going to blow up the world because it'll improve the view.
Someday I will blow up the whole world with my Iridium Q39 space modulator. That will surely improve the view.
Like, that was clever, but I didn't think they needed to do every Looney Tunes character within, like, a one-page thing. Like, I was like, I got it.
What's the name of the bar?
In the context, it's Porky's.
Porky's.
Okay. But in the context, you know, I get it because it's a bar and it's, you know, it's basically the Looney Tune Rogues Gallery, if you will.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny, I thought it was genius because, I mean, if you think about it, Bugs Bunny, like, Bugs is a gangster name. You know, it's like Bugsy or whatever. But say that's pretty groovy.
And FYI, it's not like the anthropomorphic, you know.
No, they're humans.
They're all humans.
But with their characteristics, you can tell who is who.
Yeah. I think, like, story wise, I'm gonna go like it's pretty like C. It's a good like.
Did you make it to the end?
It's a short little noir.
Yeah.
It's a short noir. The story is not new, but it gets points for how clever they kind of reinvented it and wove it in. So, you know. Yeah.
How's that working out for you? What? Being clever.
Thoughts?
Well, I liked it. I thought it was very original for what it is. I didn't really care for the ending that much, and Batman really did seem out of character in terms of his willingness to forgive a lot of Fudd's discretions.
Without spoiling things, it kind of had a Killing Joke kind of ending, I felt.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I mean, you know, it felt anticlimactic.
I mean, yeah.
They needed a clever ending, and they...
I don't like doing reviews, because you guys might want to read this.
The last page.
They all three got played, and that's why they're, you know, at the end.
Wait, so all three got played. So Bugs got played. Elmer got played and Batman got played.
Yeah, they all got played. So they were like, you know, they were like, okay, let's bond over carrot juice. I think it's really good. Tom King is probably the hottest new writer. He's not new, but he's definitely kind of taken off here lately. He's writing Mr. Miracle, which I haven't read, but they said it's on the level of Watchmen, is what people say. And this
not
is
Alan
a lot
Moore,
of
though. He doesn't say that.
Yeah.
Alan Moore.
Alan Moore. Well, I don't know what Watchmen is.
He's sitting at home.
Don't talk to me about those things.
I curse casted spells.
The artwork in this is a lot of fun. I thought it was reminiscent of kind of like Dave Mazzucchelli's Batman Year One.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Kind of cool.
Well, it's noir. It's a, a very heavy noir.
Porky's design. I actually didn't get to read it, so.
You have one, right?
I do. It is at home, luckily.
You'll get Jordan's review in the comments below later.
Sure.
But anyway, yeah, it's a fun, like, just, you know, one and done. Pick it up, read it, have a good time. And it's, I think the first printing's worth like $40, believe it or not. That's the second printing.
You want to talk about the Thing art book?
Yeah, let's talk about this a little bit.
So this...
we don't have enough time for that, man. I wish we did. It's an epic tale of
I didn't realize that this had already come out. My friend John Bickness, the Viking, had brought this up to me recently, and I was like, oh, I hadn't heard about this. And then he's like, dude, he sent me links so I could look at it. It's just gorgeous. What does it cost? What's it retail for?
It's not much. $39.99. Yeah, $40 for like a 300 page.
Like a
there's
book.
One more.
Yeah. You can buy two copies. You can buy one to cut up and like frame posters.
Why on earth would you do anything like that?
Make a beautiful collage.
No.
So on your baby's bedroom door, so when he goes to bed.
Featuring an introduction by Sean's favorite director, Eli Roth, and an afterword by the man himself, John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm. See,
there's just phenomenal artists in here. I think there's how many pages are we looking at?
That's
the
last?
Meaty book. I feel like it's got 300 pages.
So what is it's all in like various artists' interpretation of scenes or characters from the thing.
400 with the index. So at least 392 artists figure.
You look at that and tell me you don't want to rip it out and put it in your daughter's room.
What? I am not gonna
cover your bed.
I am not gonna
put,
wait.
I'm not gonna put
again.
a picture of Keith
David. Beautiful artwork. Everyone
beautiful
loves Keith
David.
He's been in her children's movies.
So
and
I'm gonna put it. I'm gonna put it above her bed.
Here's a question. Keith David's teeth look kind of monstrous. Is this like a Louis? So this is the final scene, right, where people are like, oh, there's no breath from him. He's the thing.
I don't know. His teeth
I'm curious if that is.
There's no glint in his eye. There's no glint in his eye.
No, it's the thing with his breath has been disproved. Like Carpenter's like, yeah,
right.
That just happened.
In the video game, though, there's like something that hints at that because you only find, I think, the white guy's dead body.
Kurt Russell's dead body?
Kurt Russell. No, it was a video game.
I know, but still.
Where's
doesn't
the,
need to be canonical.
What are you looking for?
There we go. There's the one. There's the one that I like.
That's good.
It's the Eric Powell.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
Wait, which one's Eric Powell's?
Right there.
Of course
Eric
it is.
Powell.
I love it.
Right?
I adore him. I was just talking to him about him to someone.
Oh,
man, it's bad.
Well, see, I was just.
I did meet him at Comic Con.
See, Comic Con, I was talking to him about him, and he seemed to like the topic and the subject.
He's really
so.
Good in my book.
That's right.
Yeah, what did I get? I got the Hellbilly.
Hellbilly.
You got that.
Oh, and I got this. Yeah, if you want to.
Tell us.
So if you can see.
Well, when we talked about this, we set this up on a previous episode.
We talked about
this. This is like the final say.
We talked about this on a previous episode. What issue was it? It was. Eight?
Oh, Crystar number 8, yeah.
So issue number 8 famously features this right here as part of the cover. Glenn Danzig of Danzig basically said, that's a really cool skull right there. I'm going to go ahead and use that for all of my shit. So he literally just ripped him off and just ran with it.
And the artist was Michael Golden.
So at Comic-Con, he was there and he was selling this shirt, which is just basically, okay, fine, if you're going to steal my shirt, I'm going to steal your logo and use my name instead.
So, I'm curious if, I'm a Danzig fan, to a point.
To an extent,
I kind of think at this point, like, you might maybe want to think about retiring or something and stop producing your own fucking records, Glenn. Seriously, get a producer, because the mixes are terrible on the last couple. But, do you think... Because he notoriously, like, if you plagiarize anything from him, he's going to show up at your house and punch you in the face, right?
Yeah.
So, like, literally, do you think, like,
Danzig's not as indestructible as he used to be.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, did Golden mention
any recourse?
Like, did Golden mention you that there had been any recourse or anything?
No,
like, you would think that Danzig would be like, okay, that pisses me off, but you're allowed.
He didn't, but he seemed like it was interesting because he was like, oh, so you know the story behind that whole thing, right? And I said, well, yeah, I know about it. Okay, good. And then he left it at that. He didn't like.
Would you wear this shirt to a Danzig concert?
That would be amazing. I'm buying us tickets the next time he comes to town.
Let's do it.
Well, live stream it on Instagram because Joe Rez said we can also do that.
What? We can do what?
We can also stream this on Instagram. And when we go to that concert and do that,
stream it on Instagram.
That is cool.
We can get Danzig punching us in the face.
Oh, no.
I can't punch the guy that did it, but I'll punch you for wearing it.
Danzig would
probably not what he sounds like.
Danzig would need like one of those like little like kiddie trampolines to like jump up onto to like get me. He'd have to like Super Mario Brothers like. You know, fantastic. Well, the demand's like 5'2". Oh, yeah. You know,
is he really?
Yeah.
Shorter than me? That's
but still, I mean, still the Misfits, Samhain, favorite band.
First three albums of the dance. I mean, Samhain, I also like, but the first three Danzig albums are fucking tight.
Yeah.
That original lineup is just
the original lineup was Samhain.
Yeah. Well, to a degree, yeah.
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, there's a lot of Danzig songs from the first album. That's just the other three were just like redos of
Possession
Samhain songs.
Was a Samhain song. Twist of Cain. But this isn't Drinking with Danzig, so we should move on.
What's next?
I want to talk about, so Waxworks Records is a kind of a niche or boutique record label that they do reprints of famous horror movie soundtracks on vinyl. And I've been a subscriber for 2 years. You pay like $200 at the beginning of the year when it goes on sale. You got like a month window, and then it is sold out. So,
and see, I'm just mad that like you're just now telling me about this.
I'm sorry. Well, it's getting near the end of the year, kind of. So
fair enough.
But so they do these one. I mean, like just the packaging, the vinyl, everything about it is just fantastic, right? So they announced recently they're going to get into comics, and so I bought the first issue. Did you see that?
What? Oh, no.
I took the comic out in hand. House of Waxworks. And this came, it was $14.95. You order it. It came with a 7-inch. That is this original music that actually scores this. So this is an anthology. So if you think of, it's almost like if you took the first two segments of Creepshow and then use that as a comic. It doesn't necessarily.
Music to read by.
Yeah.
Now, who's on that 7-inch? What's it composed by? Does it give you any info?
I don't remember, right? But it's instrumental. It's very Carpenter-esque, or it has, you know, that kind of neo-synth movement that, like, Perturbator, who I love, is kind of spearheading. I was going to bring the record.
Play some of the music when you edit it.
Maybe. I was going to bring the record, but I'm so afraid that it would get broke that I was like, I'll just bring the comic.
Are we that bad here?
No, but I mean, I tend to, you know. But, I mean, the other thing is, like, the first story in this, so it's two stories, anthology, Occult Slumber Party. There's no way I'm not buying that. Anything with that name, if you have slippers that are like, oh, Occult Slumber Party slippers, I mean, I'm buying them. If you have a cat named Occult Slumber Party, I'm stealing it.
I mean, that's pretty much the premise of that Black Mask, There's Nothing.
That's a cult sex party.
Oh,
yeah,
my bad.
I mean, you know.
Hey, they had lasagna.
But it's really, really cool, and so the first one is this, family is staying at some cabin and they go to the general store and the guy sells them like a family board game because there's no TV there and they play it and they get kind of pulled into it. It reminded me of a recent movie.
Is that the second story you're talking about?
Jumanji? Gates?
No, not Jumanji.
Jumanji.
And then the second one is the Lighthouse Keeper. So
I like that they do like fake movie posters.
The movie posters
are done.
The movie posters are done by one of the guys from Sadist Art.
That almost looks like The Fog.
It's supposed to.
Lighthouse Keeper.
Mark Schoenbach of Sadist Art Designs, and Sadist Art Designs is badass. They did some stuff for Perturbator. They do movie posters.
What's the band called? Perturbator.
Perturbator. He's an electronic musician. He's fucking great.
This is only available via
Waxworks.
But via that monthly or
this is its own thing. You can go order this right now.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, it's not part of this. Anything that you get through the subscription, you can order.
But if you want to get the 7-inch, it comes with it.
Yeah,
that subscription.
No. When you order this comic, you get the 7-inch.
What is that set you back for that comic?
$15 for this and the vinyl.
Not bad.
And it's really cool, and they're going to do more, so I'm pretty psyched about it. So this is some of the records they've done. My Bloody Valentine,
Goosebumps,
the original.
Salem's Lot.
Krampus.
Yes.
They did the thing. They did. It wasn't part of subscription, but they did a remaster of Ennio Morricone's soundtrack for the thing. It's. Oh my god, it's so good. They're great. Evil Dead 2 was in the subscription this year. So highly recommended. Just type in Waxworks record and you'll get it.
Yeah, it looks like the very throwback to the to the old Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, that's, exactly. It's the wraparound is the director, this character. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like the
Crypt Keeper or the witch.
No, so cool. Either. So good job, Waxworks. Again. What else we got?
I think we're forgetting like one of the major things that came out so quite recently.
This is a book. I don't know these guys that do this. Never it's heard of Guns A-Blazin'. It's by this Mike Wallman and Rafael Navarro. I think Rafael Navarro was like Jane's Addiction.
This is a Comics First. This is the first time we've all actually read the book.
It's the weirdest thing. It feels really weird. Not like a regular comic. I don't know what it is.
Smell it. Anybody want to come get a whiff?
Should we do a close your eyes and feel this? Do you have a...
Close your eyes and sniff this.
So this is the fifth issue of your saga, Guns A-Blazing. And this,
Five and a half.
Because the teaser?
Yeah. That's issue zero.
But so this issue, you go back. I love the way you do this. And you go back. You told me like, oh, you know, this is... I start like giving some answers. And don't respond, but obviously the Void is some kind of future version of Eddie. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
I'm not saying.
But it's
you
cool.
You don't find out in issue 6, I'll tell you that
much. Now, you know what's a really fun piece of trivia, too, is that isn't the idea of the Void, didn't that come from Graham?
No, Mono and Muckett.
Yeah, that came from Graham.
Oh, okay.
Graham is Mike's son.
At the end of issue 4, the line where he says to the Void, you come from a time where, I can't remember the line, but like, go back to a time when anything was possible.
Yeah.
That was Graham's line.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Then he tried to like take over the book.
Give the elevator pitch for Guns A-Blazin'.
It's Doctor Who meets Smokey and the Bandit.
It's a pretty fucking good elevator pitch, man.
I love Eddie's gun.
Yeah.
The one in real life or the one in the book?
Oh, in the book.
Another thing I wanted to ask, this is total, like I've nerded out on this now. I noticed he fires 6 times to get the effect of, so what is the 6? Is that like...
Because he's done it twice. Most guns are 6 shooters. So if he
has to exhaust the bolt.
7th chamber.
Oh, and
he's got to get to it. Yeah.
That's right. Dude, that's so brilliant. I love that. Yeah,
every once in a while, I put together some brilliant shit.
And a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then.
Nice. I really like that at the end of this, too, you talk about how you wanted, you know, you thought, oh, with time travel, I could have just been like, oh, it's fantasy, go with it. But instead, like, you sought out people that knew about science and, like, brainstorm with them how to like explain it's and this theory that this kid has is 13. He's basing the time travel in his book on a 13-year-old boy's theory, and like apparently this theory, like there are scientists going like it's pretty impressive.
This could work,
and I mean, if I may, if you had magnets in front of each other and had one beam of blue light that had been traveling for thousands of years and put that in the middle of these two magnets, then turn on lasers on each magnet, and the side they are pointing to makes the magnets face each other. And when the magnets are heated, have 8 smaller magnets on each magnet and make those magnets so that they would repel the big magnet. That's just the first paragraph of, like, 7. And
it says magnet a lot.
I actually studied some like, quantum mechanics for a while.
Okay.
Unofficially. I don't even, like, he lost me. When he says, put the 8 magnets on the other, I'm gone.
That's the trick of
the math is sound.
Yeah, the math is sound.
Math is sound.
Yeah, you just confuse people to the point where you're like, man, this guy's a genius.
Magnets, how do they work?
Fuck. It's really
I was worried writing this because I didn't want to bore people.
Oh, you didn't. No way.
Well, I always, that's my number one.
No
fear.
Way. Look at that. Raphael, goddamn, dude. Great job. Great job. Just fantastic. I know, you guys really, I really, really like this. And I love the way you explain Cody and Eddie's pre-existing relationship. And the fact that number one starts so abruptly with like, Cody's asleep and Eddie wakes him up and they're, you know...
Eddie's asleep and Cody wakes him up. Yeah.
Sorry, but But there's this weird thing where, like, they know one another, but then as it starts getting going, because it kicks right in, you're like, wait, but they kind of... They're acting like... Cody acts like he doesn't know him, so I'm like, what the hell's going on? And Eddie acts like he does know him, so... Right. And then the first 4 issues, there's constantly, like, at some point, Cody will always be like, tell me what's going on. I'll be like, it's coming, it's coming.
Yeah, it came.
I really, really liked it. So
yeah, I say we explain most stuff, but we explain pretty much everything in this issue. So in issue 6, we can go full tilt boogie. And,
so how many issues is this going to be? Do you
6.
Know?
Oh,
you're going to end at 6?
Yeah. Guys look so sad.
Do I come back at least?
No. Do I got to bring you back to life?
Yeah.
All my friends.
You know what? Just like in TV, no body, no death.
Okay.
You don't see my body.
So yeah.
Just saying.
Did you read it?
Well, yeah.
Another 5. Okay, cool. What do you think, Jordan?
Dude, I
liked it.
I came down and got this shit like I saw you post like oh dude, box just got
here.
You were
the first one to get a copy.
I showed up, dude. I'm like, hey, man.
That's awesome. You might want to tell them how the 5th issue came to be though, as far as Raph's process.
You mean how we got it the day before Comic Con, or
yeah. How he did it all in like
no, a we make our printer sweat, we make our letters sweat, we make ourselves sweat. We got a little bit sooner this year than last year. Last year, we had to pick it up on the way to Comic-Con.
Oh wow, that's
nerve-wracking. Doc.
Flying by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, so, but no, I mean, we know when Comic-Con is every year, but we take our day jobs and we have all these other things we do all year long. So, like, around February or March, we start sweating it. But yeah, we get it out every year. I'm going to try to get out number 6 before the end of the year. Anybody want a beer? Yeah. So, yeah.
Now, also, speaking of Comic-Con, this last Comic-Con, snagged one of these bad boys here.
So, I guess this isn't even out yet,
it's
right?
Not even out yet.
So,
what, Comic-Con was like, it was like
4 kids walking into a bank. Matthew Rosenberg, who was one of the 2 writers on We Can Never Go Home, which was my favorite book that year, was it 2 years ago?
That was a great book.
Didn't you write Cal Exit, too?
No.
That I'm blanking on his name right now. But we just talked about it last month. But yeah, so this book is great and
it's fantastic.
It was the first 2 came pretty quickly, and then Matthew Rosenberg's father, I think, had some health issues, and so it just kind of dropped off the map. And then 3 came out, and then there was another kind of little bit hiatus. 4 came out, and I thought originally it was supposed to be 4, so I read 4, and I was like, wait a minute, it doesn't say the end or to be continued. It just ends, and I was like. Okay.
But it ends and it feels like
there's another one coming. Room, but I was like, and so then Chris got me, he got me a copy of this signed by Matthew Rosenberg.
What? Yeah,
that's the Comic Con.
that inspires it, anger.
The Comic Con exclusive 73 of 200.
It was like now, $200 for that, wasn't it?
So,
I totally did.
I've been waiting to read this, and now he gave it to me, and I can't bring myself. To take it out of the plastic.
Oh, dude, get in there.
And I'm not usually like that.
Oh, you should, dude. I already read that exact one right there like 5 times.
Well,
you might as well.
I'm not usually like that, but...
I didn't read my copy, but I read your copy.
Nice. It meant a lot to me that you got, so thank you.
Of course, man. Well, originally, you're the one who turned me on to 4 Kids Walking to a Bank, so... As luck would have it, they had the Black Mask booth directly across from the Guns A-Blazin' booth. So naturally, I tripped over there and spoke with them a little bit. Last issue, we talked about, Cal Exit and a few other Black Mask books. So I was rapping with them for a little bit, and I glance over, and I'm like, oh, shit, issue 5. Is that even out yet? And, of course, no, it's not. It's going to be coming out soon, so right now we just have this exclusive one. I'm like, oh, I'll take 2.
How many copies did they do?
200.
It's a great book.
At Comic-Con, my friend Karen from Manila hung out with us, brought us a bottle of rum. That was really sweet of her. This is not more rum. I'm sorry, Jordan.
Don't cross the streams. Rum and gin.
No, I know, but it was really good.
Yeah, it was. She gave that to us.
No.
Wednesday, And then she came back Thursday.
I just gotta keep. I just got to keep an eye on you, George.
So now make another mark that says danger zone. And if she hits that, we'll put in the Glenn Fry song.
Well, no, we won't. It sucks, but I'm just kidding. We all want to go to the danger zone, don't we? Or are we supposed to avoid the danger zone? I don't know
the highway to the danger zone.
Yeah, I don't know the point of K-Log's song, if it's a warning or a map.
Wait, Kellogg's now does
K-Log. I love that shit.
That his nickname,
I mean, that's how he refers to himself.
Does
oh, wait a minute. Is K-Log like the 2017 version of Kenny Loggins? That's how you say.
Yeah. K-Log.
Fuck, I'm living in the apocalypse.
So basically, I'm gonna hit Danger Zone,
yeah.
And then I'm just gonna hit Footloose because that's a little bit. You kind of break it up a little bit.
I came in here, I had just rewatched the first 2 Hellraisers for the first time in a while on Netflix, and remembered how much I absolutely loved them.
Yeah.
That's a series that went straight in the shitter with three, man.
No, four.
Really? I haven't seen since back in the day.
Bloodlines,
I've never seen anything since... Anything after three, I've never seen.
Yeah.
I've heard the one that Scott Derrickson does is good. I don't know what the name of it is.
Is that Bloodlines? The one?
Maybe.
Bloodlines was great because it felt more like it was like an anthology, you know?
Okay.
It was basically like three
stories.
It was like three short stories taking place in the past, present day, and then the far future.
Oh.
Interesting.
Cool. I mean, to the point where like it followed the family of the original inventor of the puzzle box.
I can never say
that. The French, yeah.
Yeah, Le Marchand or whatever.
And, it starts off with basically the creation of it and then one of his descendants and whatnot. And then the future where basically he makes a big spaceship that ends up being like a big space
I think that is the
puzzle box kind of thing. And that's kind of, that was the logical conclusion of the whole story. And then they kept going from there. When it went from there, everything else, you know, takes place before that. So it's...
The problem with the series is Dimension has it, and what they do is, you know, there's the in perpetuity thing where it's like, if you don't make a movie within this time frame, you lose the rights. So every time it's going to run up, they're like, oh, we're going to lose it. Make something. So like the last one...
You mean like Spider-Man and Fantastic Four?
Yeah, basically. So in the late 80s when Hellraiser became kind of a thing, quick trivia, John Constantine's original book by Jamie Delano, Hellblazer, was originally going to be called Hellraiser, and then the movie came out, and they were like, oh, shit, well, we'll just Hellblazer. Marvel's Epic Comics line started doing these anthologies based on Hellraiser, because you can work a lot within the Hellraiser concept and get, you know, short stories or whatever. And
they did a bunch of them, too.
Great. I mean, I really like them. When did
this come out? Because this looks like you pulled it from the vaults.
Well, and especially because it's the prestige format, which has disappeared, you know, by and large.
Okay.
But it's very much of its time. It reminds me a lot of what I love so much about the late 80s comics, like the more mature comics, Vertigo and stuff. Mm-hmm. And just a lot of, like, painted art, almost bordering on an abstract.
Want a little trivia about that series?
It almost looks very like Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it's very similar. There was a thing then,
the
right?
The Wachowski brothers. Back when they were brothers, worked on this book. They did several issues, and that's where they met Steve Scrosi or Scroats or whatever.
Oh.
Who storyboarded Matrix.
Okay.
So there you go. They came from comics.
I'll be sure to sell those issues back to you.
And they also wrote, they wrote a series, like when, because they remember they did like a line.
Yeah, it was Barker. Frankenstein something. Yeah, it was.
No, that was later. No, this is like back in the 80s. Oh, okay. It was, I can't remember what it was, but some comic they did with Steve Scrosi.
I'm the only one that brought books, so I'm just going to explain.
I brought Batman Homer Fudd. I only wrote a comic. Okay. For the well, comic. Well, what can a man do?
Fuck me. You're right. We're going to go with...
Did you read that yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
David Peppos? Is that how you say his name?
Peppos.
Spencer and Locke. This is... Peppos. It came out, about...
3 or 4 months ago.
The first one, yeah. And... It's through Action Lab, who I love their 80s Undead. I forget the name of it, but we talked about
this one here. I haven't had the opportunity to read yet, but I fucking love the premise.
So the premise is basically, if you're a Calvin and Hobbes fan, Calvin grows up and becomes a cop in basically what is almost Sin City. And Hobbes is his partner, but he's not real.
It's almost it's almost like Calvin and like Harvey. If you're Jimmy Stewart, Jimmy Shore.
But it looks amazing. I keep tripping off how much he looks like Dale Cooper there.
Holy shit.
Maybe that's because my entire existence revolves around Twin Peaks.
No. That is straight up Kyle MacLachlan.
With red hair. Yeah. Which is probably from the lighting. But
No. That's...
But it's great art. The artist is...
Well, that's Kyle MacLachlan. That's what that is.
George Santiago Jr.
I mean, some of these frames in here is straight up like it's Cal.
So it flashes back to the child, and it looks very much
really messed up.
Please don't sue.
But and this just got optioned, right?
Yeah, it did. I was the one who introduced it to the producer to option it.
Congratulations, and I believe our next episode, David will be here.
Come on, yeah.
So looking forward to that. He's a really nice guy and
smart.
All the
super
best.
Smart.
So last I'll talk about Alterna Comics, which we talked about last time with Croak, which number 2 came out.
Did it?
Yeah. They're bringing newsprint back, and it's...
Still only $1.50?
Oh, my God.
Still only $1.50?
Yep.
Yes, still $1.50. Isn't it just, god damn, it takes me back. And it, so Trespasser is another Alterna Comics book, and I don't know.
Passing a doobie.
No, yeah, it is.
Hide it. Don't divide it. Hide it. What is it now?
Quit bogarting it.
I don't know where it's going, but it was a really, really cool story. Like,
but you sure know where it's been. It's a White Snake reference.
What if I told you about White Snake?
Only
references?
You would drop a White Snake.
Hey,
reference
that's in your
too.
That's in your head now, isn't it?
What's
not
white
at
snake?
All.
That's the music mommies and daddies listen to.
You know what? Dude, I'm gonna sing you the James Cameron song, and that's gonna be stuck in your head.
That's why you're
we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Don, you win.
No, here,
you win the night.
I already got it in his head earlier.
So Trespasser from Alternative Comics, they're bringing newsprint back, and that's their comics are $1.50, and we talked about Croak last month when we did last issue. This is great. It's like this father and daughter live out in this like the woods kind of, and I believe there's like kind of an allusion to the idea that maybe there's been some kind of an apocalyptic event, but they find a Martian on their land.
Do they actually say Martian?
No, but it's one of the, you know, the one of the grays, and he's stuck in a bear trap, and the father brings him in, and they tie him up, or they nurse him back to health, and then...
So he's the trespasser.
I don't want to give anything away. So it's one of the 4-issue limited series. They fucking eat him.
They eat the Martian?
Yeah, like the girl goes to bed, and the dad's like... He realizes that this thing is probably not there for good reasons, so then it cuts, and the next morning... He's feeding the daughter. She's like, it tastes weird. He's like, it's okay. And it's the Martian. And then it ends. And I don't know where it's going. So we're going to...
Statler's in the audience tonight.
we're gonna cut it. But before we do, we have a question from the audience
at
home.
Audience at home.
So this is... Who, what's your friend's name?
Solomon.
What's his favorite color?
Blue.
Living color.
No, green.
There you go.
That's good money.
Who would win?
Nice. Oh. Go ahead.
Who would win when Thor uses his hammer and without his hammer and why? I'm going to tell you right now.
Wait.
Hold on. I'm going to defer to you on this, so you're going to actually come up and take my place.
Ooh.
I can't answer this.
All right.
Who would win when Thor uses his hammer and without his hammer and why? Can the Hulk beat Thor when Thor is using his hammer and explain why? Can Thor beat the Hulk without his hammer and explain why? I think that's the exact same question phrased 3 or 4 different ways.
And why?
And why?
Yeah. I think he didn't want us to like say blah 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 at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't think he wanted a simple. So
he wants a word.
I know you will do a better job. Okay, so
you said you got to pregame a little.
I'm good.
Danzig has now become Thor's hammer.
Gold. Yeah.
Hold on.
I'll do this really fast.
No, no.
Because I knew you're about to
attack. So grab a seat.
So do this real quick.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave.
For those at home. The Reverend Dave.
Reverend Dave for those at home.
The Reverend.
Okay. Really quick and simple. As Marvel defines it, without his hammer, he'll probably lose to someone like the Hulk. It's Marvel puts a lot of power into the hammer. But with the hammer, spoken to many legends, including Michael Golden, who has drawn him, drawn the Hulk, drawn many people. Thor would whip the living shit out of the Hulk any day. Beep. But
well, that's technique versus brute strength.
Exactly. And Thor's
he's a fucking god.
Thor's a god.
Well, no, but the
with
problem
his
is
magical objects
god.
Versus a human that's been modified.
In the mythos, Thor's father kills himself for his love of the world or something crazy. Like in ancient
Speaking of, just to interject, if you haven't read it yet, please read Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology.
Mike, fantastic did you like book. That?
They lost me at Neil Gaiman.
Motherfucker. Neil Gaiman is a national treasure. Not our nation, but he is someone's national treasure.
No, he lives in Michigan.
Yeah. Neil Gaiman, does he?
Yeah, he's lived in Michigan
since when?
For years.
Does he?
Yeah.
Enjoy the snow, fucker.
So yeah, for your nerd question, Thor will whip the hell out of Hulk, hands down, with the hammer. Without it, probably not. In Marvel version, we're not dealing with the classic mythos.
Somebody's signing off up
Oh, you'll sign
off. But in ancient mythos, gods can apparently die. So there we go.
There you have
that's
it.
All the in that's like most of them. Like somebody dies and makes all the crops and stuff. Thor's dad kills himself, hangs himself on the tree of life for whatever reason.
Tree of life.
Anyway,
hey so man, they've all been gone for a long time anyway.
Yeah, but we still have Thursday. Thank you, Thor.
And Wednesday.
Wednesday was Wednesday.
Odin's day.
Oh, really? Yes, and is. Odin. There we go. His name's Odin. Odin hung himself on the tree of life.
And what's Friday for?
Friday's for drinking, buddy.
Drinking with comics.
That's us.
That's you. That's a wrap.